This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to choose the right setting and medium before delivering critical feedback. The decision you make before you speak shapes everything that follows. In short, after reading this guide, you will be able to choose the right setting and medium before delivering critical feedback so your message is heard. Not defended against. Match the medium to the stakes. Serious feedback requires a face-to-face or video conversation, never email. Choose a private, neutral space that protects the other person's dignity. Prepare your timing deliberately. Feedback delivered at the wrong moment fails regardless of the words. Definition: delivering critical feedback is the process of communicating specific, performance-related concerns to a colleague or team member in a way that is clear, respectful, and aimed at genuine improvement. The setting and medium you choose before speaking shape whether that feedback is received or rejected. I have watched a manager call an employee aside in the middle of a busy open plan office, lower his voice, and deliver what he thought was a quiet, professional critique. The employee's face flushed. Colleagues nearby pretended not to notice. The message was lost before the first sentence finished. Most people know that delivering critical feedback is important. What stops them is not a lack of desire. It is the absence of a clear method for the part that happens before the conversation, choosing the right place, the right channel, and the right moment. Fear of getting it wrong sends people reaching for the easy option, usually an email, usually at the wrong time. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for choosing the setting and medium for delivering critical feedback that you can use immediately. If you want to understand the broader principles behind effective workplace feedback, how to give feedback strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is a strong place to start. Why getting the setting wrong costs you the conversation. Knowing that feedback matters and actually being able to deliver it well are two very different things. The gap between them is not intelligence. It is structure. Here is what makes choosing the right setting and medium genuinely difficult. You are trying to protect the relationship while delivering difficult news. The two goals feel like they pull against each other, which creates hesitation. When you most need to be decisive, the easiest options, email or a quick word in passing, feel low risk. They are not. They remove the human elements that make feedback receivable: tone, presence, and the ability to respond in real time. You often do not know how the other person will react. That uncertainty pushes people toward delay or avoidance, which compounds the original problem. Remote work has multiplied the choices. Video call, phone, instant message, email each feels plausible, and the lack of a clear framework means people default to whatever is most convenient. Timing pressure is real. You are managing a team, a deadline, or a tense relationship, and finding the right moment requires planning that most people skip. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one. Your intention must be improvement, not release. Before you choose a setting or pick up the phone, ask yourself honestly, am I doing this to help this person grow or to relieve my own frustration? If the answer is the latter, wait. Feedback delivered from irritation lands as attack, regardless of the setting you choose. Number two, you must know the specific behavior you are addressing. Vague feedback delivered in the perfect setting still fails. Before you decide where and how to have this conversation, you need to be able to name the exact behavior, the situation in which it occurred, and the impact it had on the team or the work. The SBVI method gives you a reliable structure for this. Number three, the other person must be in a state to receive it. The best setting in the world will not help if that other person is walking into a meeting, nursing a fresh frustration, or visibly overwhelmed. Part of your preparation is reading the moment, not just planning your words. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Assess the stakes of the conversation. The weight of the feedback determines the channel you use, and getting this wrong undermines everything that follows. Not all critical feedback carries the same stakes. A comment about presentation style is different from a conversation about repeated missed deadlines, which is different again from addressing a serious breach of conduct. Before you choose a medium, you need to place this conversation on a scale from significant to high stakes, because that scale tells you almost everything you need to know about where and how to have it. Use these questions to assess the stakes. Number 1. Could this conversation affect the person's standing, confidence, or career trajectory. Number 2. Is there an emotional charge attached to this issue for either of you? Number 3. Has this behavior happened more than once? Number 4. Would a misunderstanding in this conversation cause lasting damage? Number 5. Does this feedback require a response, a discussion, or simply an acknowledgement? Example. A team lead notices a junior colleague has been cutting across others in team calls. The behavior has happened 3 times in 2 weeks. The stakes are moderate, but rising. A quick message would be too thin for the weight of the conversation. A formal meeting would feel disproportionate. A private video call or a quiet one-to-one in a side room is the right level. The stakes assessment points directly to the medium and setting before a single word has been scripted. Once you know the stakes, you are ready to match them to a channel. Step 2. Choose the right communication medium. The medium you choose is not a logistical decision. It is a signal to the other person about how seriously you're taking this conversation. Face-to-face is the richest medium for delivering critical feedback. It gives both parties access to tone, expression, body language, and the ability to pause, repair, and respond in real time. When the feedback is significant, face-to-face should be your first choice. Video call is a strong second, particularly for remote teams. It preserves most of what makes face-to-face powerful while removing the need for physical proximity. For a deeper look at how to make video feedback conversations work, see Best Practices for Virtual Meeting Communication. Follow this hierarchy when choosing your medium. Number 1. Face-to-face, in a private space, for all feedback that is sensitive, repeated, or high stakes. Number 2. Video call, with cameras on, for remote or hybrid teams where in-person is not possible. Number 3. Phone call, only when video is genuinely unavailable and the feedback cannot wait. Number 4. Email, only for minor, factual corrections or written follow-up after a spoken conversation. Number 5. Never use instant messaging or chat tools for delivering critical feedback of any kind. The communication medium richness hierarchy in Say It Right Every Time reinforces this principle. The richness of the medium must match the difficulty of the conversation. I cover this in depth in Say It Right Every Time, where the principle is mapped to specific conversation types so you always know which channel to choose. You can also explore the broader framework in how to match your communication medium to the stakes of a team synergy conversation. Choosing the right medium tells the other person you respect them enough to show up properly for this conversation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Select a private, neutral space. Where you deliver feedback shapes how it is received before you have said a single word. Privacy is non-negotiable for critical feedback. Any setting where the conversation might be overheard, interrupted, or observed by colleagues removes the other person's ability to respond honestly. Their attention will split between your words and the audience around them. Public feedback does not just embarrass, it shuts down the very openness you need. Choose your space with these criteria in mind. Number 1. Select a room with a door that closes, or a quiet space well away from the main work area. Number 2. Avoid your own office if it carries a significant power association. A neutral meeting room works better. Number 3. For video feedback, send a private calendar invite with no visible title that signals the conversation subject. Number 4. Remove distractions close to your laptop, silence your phone, and make clear you will not be interrupted. Number 5. Ensure you have enough time allocated. Never schedule this kind of conversation immediately before another commitment. Example. A manager needs to address a senior colleague's dismissive communication style in team meetings. Rather than asking for a word after the next meeting, a setting loaded with immediacy and no privacy, she books a small meeting room for Thursday afternoon, sends a neutral calendar invite labelled catch up, and blocks 19 minutes so there is no pressure from either side. The space signals this matters, and I'm giving it the room it deserves. The right space is not just comfortable. It is safe enough for the truth to come out on both sides. Step 4. Choose the right moment in time. Even the right setting at the wrong moment will produce the wrong result. Timing is one of the most underestimated decisions in delivering critical feedback. Too early, directly after the incident, and emotions on both sides are too high for a productive conversation. Too late, weeks after the event, and the feedback loses credibility and relevance. The window for effective feedback is usually between 24 hours and 5 days after the behavior you're addressing. Apply these timing rules before you schedule the conversation. Number 1. Never deliver feedback when you are still emotionally reactive. Wait until you can speak from clarity, not frustration. Number 2. Never deliver feedback when the other person is visibly stressed, rushing, or mid-crisis. Number 3. Avoid Monday mornings and Friday afternoons. Neither is conducive to receptive conversation. Number 4. Choose a time when neither of you has a significant commitment immediately, before or after. Number 5. If the issue is urgent, a same-day conversation is appropriate, but build in at least an hour for both parties to settle. For guidance on managing conflict that arises during feedback conversations, How to Handle Conflict During Meetings offers practical tools you can apply in real time. Good timing is not about waiting indefinitely. It is about creating the conditions where the conversation can actually move forward. Step 5. Prepare what you will say before you enter the room. The setting and the medium create the conditions. What you prepare determines the outcome. Walking into a critical feedback conversation without preparation is one of the most common reasons these conversations go wrong. You freeze, you soften the message until it disappears, or you overload the other person with everything that has been building up. Preparation is not about scripting the entire conversation. It is about being clear on your opening, your core message, and the outcome you are working toward. Prepare these elements before you sit down. Number 1. Write a one-sentence summary of the specific behavior you're addressing. Number 2. Identify the impact of that behavior on the team, the work, or the relationship. Number 3. Decide your opening line. The first sentence sets the tone for everything that follows. Number 4. Anticipate the most likely defensive response and prepare a calm, factual reply. Number 5. Be clear on the outcome you're looking for: a change in behavior, a shared plan, or simply a conversation. Example script. I wanted to talk with you about something I noticed in Tuesday's meeting. When you cut across Sarah while she was presenting, it shifted the energy in the room, and I think it affected her confidence. I want us to talk about what was happening for you, and how we can make sure everyone gets space in those sessions. That is a prepared opening that is specific, respectful, and forward-looking. It took 3 minutes to write. If you want a full range of scripts built for exactly this kind of conversation, Say It Right Every Time has them structured by situation type. Preparation is what separates feedback that lands from feedback that stings without producing anything useful. Step 6. Confirm the other person is ready to receive. Delivering feedback to someone who is not ready to hear, it is like speaking into the wind. Before you begin the substance of the conversation, take 30 seconds to check in. This is not a formality. It is a direct investment in whether your feedback will be heard or defended against. A simple, honest check-in opens the door to psychological safety, which is the condition under which real feedback can be received. Without it, even the most carefully worded message will land on closed ground. Use these actions to confirm readiness. Number 1. Open with a brief signal of your intent. I want to talk through something that I think will help us both. Number 2. Ask directly if now is still a good time. Leave genuine space for the answer. Number 3. If the other person seems distracted or tense, acknowledge it. You seem like you have a lot on. Do you want to do this now or find a better moment? Number 4. Wait for a clear signal of readiness before proceeding with the core feedback. When the other person feels they have been given genuine choice in the moment, they are far more likely to engage openly. This is not softening the message. It is earning the right to deliver it. Step 7. Follow up in the right way after the conversation. The conversation is not the end of the feedback process. What you do after determines whether anything actually changes. Many managers deliver feedback, leave the room, and assume the work is done. It is not. A follow-up, well-timed and appropriately delivered, is what turns a single conversation into a genuine shift in behavior. The follow-up also signals that you meant what you said, that this was not a box-ticking exercise, but a real investment in the other person's growth. Follow these steps to close the loop effectively. Number 1. Within 24 hours, send a brief, private written note email, not instant message summarizing what was agreed and any next steps. Number 2. Check in informally within the following week. A brief, warm conversation is enough to signal continued support. Number 3. If If the feedback involved a specific change in behaviour, observe and acknowledge any improvement promptly and directly. Number 4. If the behaviour persists, schedule a second conversation using the same process. Do not escalate the setting or the tone without cause. Number 5. Keep a brief private record of the conversation, the agreed outcome, and the follow-up. This protects both parties and creates accountability. For guidance on broader workplace email etiquette in written follow-ups, What is Proper Email Etiquette in the Workplace? Is a useful reference. Good feedback does not end when the conversation does. It ends when something has genuinely shifted. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote teams present specific challenges for delivering critical feedback that deserve the right attention. When your team is distributed across locations, time zones, or a mix of home and office, the default options for feedback delivery narrow quickly. Email becomes tempting precisely because it is asynchronous and feels less confrontational. Resist that temptation. Email is the weakest channel for critical feedback, and the distance of remote work makes that weakness worse, not better. Replace the physical room with an intentional digital space. Book a private video call, cameras on, with enough time built in. Treat it with the same preparation you would give a face-to-face conversation. Do not combine it with a team call or a standing meeting. Signal the meeting's purpose without exposing it. In a remote context, your calendar invite is visible. Use a neutral title like 1:1 check-in and send a brief private message in advance. I'd like to use our time this week to talk through something specific. I'll share more when we connect. This respects privacy without creating unnecessary anxiety. Watch for technical barriers that undermine the conversation. Poor video quality, connection drops, or an unsuitable background all erode the sense of safety you're trying to create. Test your setup beforehand. If the connection is unreliable, switch to phone rather than continuing through repeated disruptions. Allow more time for silence and response in a remote setting. Without shared physical space, pauses feel longer and more uncertain. Make space for the other person to respond fully before you continue. The core process does not change for remote teams, only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid when choosing a feedback setting. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: choosing email for difficult feedback because it feels less confrontational. Why it happens: email removes the immediate discomfort of a face-to-face reaction, which feels like a relief. What to do instead? Use email only for minor factual corrections or post-conversation summaries. For anything sensitive, choose a spoken medium. The mistake: delivering feedback immediately after the triggering event, while still emotionally activated. Why it happens: the urgency feels justified, and delay feels like avoiding the issue. What to do instead? Wait at least a few hours, or until the following day, so you can speak from clarity rather than heat. The mistake: giving feedback in a semi-public space, such as a shared office or after a group meeting. Why it happens: it feels efficient, and the setting is already there. What to do instead? Always move the conversation to a genuinely private space, even if that means rescheduling. The mistake: scheduling the conversation without telling the person what it is about, which creates anxiety. Why it happens: you want to control the setting without triggering a defensive reaction in advance. What to do instead? Give a brief, honest signal. I want to talk through something from this week. It reduces anxiety without revealing everything. The mistake: combining critical feedback with a performance review or a broader meeting agenda. Why it happens: it feels practical to address multiple things at once. What to do instead? Give the feedback its own dedicated conversation. Bundling it dilutes the message and confuses the purpose. For guidance on running focused meetings, see how to run productive meetings that don't waste time. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist for choosing setting and medium. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified the specific behavior I'm addressing, not a general pattern or a personality trait. I have checked my own intention. I'm giving this feedback to help, not to release frustration. I have assessed the stakes and matched the medium to them face-to-face, video, or phone. I have not chosen email as the primary channel for this feedback. I have booked or arranged a private space where the conversation cannot be overheard. I have chosen a time that works for both parties, not immediately before or after a stressful commitment. I have allowed at least 24 hours since the incident before scheduling the conversation. I have prepared my opening sentence and my core message before entering the room. I have anticipated the most likely defensive response and prepared a calm reply. I have a clear outcome in mind, what I'm asking for or working toward. I have planned a brief written follow-up after the conversation to confirm what was agreed. I have set a date to check in again within 1 week of the conversation. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a clear process for making the decisions that happen before delivering critical feedback, the decisions that determine whether the conversation works before you have spoken a word. The stakes of the feedback dictate the medium. High stakes require the richest channel available. Privacy is non-negotiable. Any setting where the other person feels observed is the wrong setting. Timing matters as much as location. Deliver too soon, and emotions override the message. Deliver too late, and the feedback loses credibility. Preparation is not optional. Know your opening, your core message, and your desired outcome before you enter the room. A brief check-in before you begin the substance of the conversation creates the psychological safety that makes feedback receivable. The follow-up closes the loop. A conversation without a follow-up is just a complaint with better manners. The system works. When you get the setting and medium right, delivering critical feedback becomes a skill you can trust. For your next steps, explore the full SBI framework for structuring what you say once you're in the room. How to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides. If your team works across locations, best practices for virtual meeting communication will help you apply these principles in a remote context. Delivering critical feedback well is one of the most courageous and useful things you can learn to do. Get the setting right, and you give the words a fighting chance. Frequently asked questions. What does delivering critical feedback mean in the workplace? Delivering critical feedback means communicating specific concerns about a colleague or team member's behavior or performance in a way that is clear, respectful, and aimed at improvement. It requires choosing the right words, timing, and setting to ensure the message lands without damaging trust or morale. What is the best setting for delivering critical feedback to an employee? The best setting for delivering critical feedback is a private, distraction-free space where the other person feels safe to listen and respond honestly. Avoid open-plan offices, shared rooms, or any location where the conversation can be overheard. Privacy protects dignity and makes the feedback easier to receive. Should critical feedback be delivered in person or by email? Critical feedback should almost always be delivered in person or by video call, not by email. Written feedback strips away tone, body language, and the ability to respond in real time. In-person or video delivery allows you to adjust your approach as the conversation unfolds and reduces the risk of misinterpretation. How do you choose the right medium for delivering critical feedback remotely? When delivering critical feedback remotely, choose video call over phone or email whenever possible. A video call preserves facial expression and body language, which are essential for high-stakes conversations. Reserve phone for situations where video is not available, and never use email or messaging apps for critical or sensitive feedback. How long should you wait before delivering critical feedback? You should deliver critical feedback as close to the event as possible, ideally within 24 to 48 hours. Waiting too long allows the moment to fade, makes the feedback feel less credible, and can allow small issues to compound. However, never deliver feedback when either party is emotionally heightened. Wait until both of you are calm. What are common mistakes when choosing where to give critical feedback? The most common mistakes include giving feedback in a public or semi-public space, choosing email for emotionally sensitive issues, and delivering feedback immediately after a tense moment without allowing time to settle. Each of these errors undermines the message and damages trust before the conversation even begins. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.